Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 84 from a still under construction office. You can hear the guys doing the drywall right now, which might be a theme for a little bit on these podcasts. But we sit down with Matt and Mike and we talk about siblings and terror, true terror, bone chilling tales from this office late at night. It's a real edge of your seater. And also I talk a little bit about my misspent youth in Seattle trying to build a meat smoker. That's a fun story. This week's podcast brought to you by Loot Crate. Now over here at Rocket Jump, we're huge fans of everyone over at Loot Crate and what they do, because they've made some awesome exclusive VGA chest loot crates for us in the past for a couple of our crowdfunding campaigns. So you may even have one of these sitting in front of you. But if you're not familiar with what Loot Crate is, here's what it is. For under $20 a month, you get a box sent to your door of awesome, licensed, geek, gamer, nerd, pop culture stuff. It's everything from collectibles, apparels, licensed goods. It's fantastic. And the stuff in there is worth over $40. So like the math is a no-brainer. You're paying under $20 a month, you're getting over $40 worth of stuff every month delivered right to your door. And you can make that equation work out a little more in your favor right now if you head over to lootcrate.com and enter the promo code FACERocker. You'll get $3 off of your subscription, and you probably should do it pretty quick because this next month they're going to do a sequel to one of their more popular crates that they've done in the past. They're calling it Heroes 2. They're teaming up with DC. There's going to be a Zelda thing in there. There's going to be a Star Trek thing. There's going to be the first ever hardcover book for the first time there too. You have until the 19th to get in on next month's offer. So head on over to lootcrate.com/facerocker, enter the promo code facerocker, and get yourself $3 off of a new subscription. It's basically like Christmas every month. You don't know what you're going to get, but it's always something awesome and it's cool. It's always a fun surprise. Big fans of them, and thanks for supporting the podcast. Anyway, let's see what we got this week. Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 84. Whoa. Man.
That's a lot of podcasts.
That's a lot of podcasts.
I don't know what I thought this was. I thought Face Rocker 84 was like our new name. Like, I didn't think about like, okay, it's number 84.
All joined right. Today by the bewildered Matt Arnold. Hello. To my left, and Mike Simons to my right.
Hello.
For an adjective.
Couldn't think of an adjective, no. Well, he's on an even keel. Matt was, I don't know, what do you think about this, man?
Confused.
I feel like, what do you think about, like, we're getting to 100, man. We're getting to the century mark with these things. What do you think we should do?
It just feels like something that we just keep doing. I don't know. I don't think it'll ever end.
It's just a perpetual thing. You don't want to mark off any special, you know,
no, we'll just,
any
we should,
special
we should think
milestones
about, we
in
should
terms
think
of
about
date?
What we'll do for 100.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll have Logan back. There's
yeah,
nothing
yeah,
we can
yeah.
do 100 without Logan.
That's true. That's true. And let's be honest here in terms of people who have been very influential on this thing and people want back. Logan's probably top of the list, honestly.
I mean, we could both leave and just put it could just be Logan.
It could just be Logan. I did actually have I had lunch with Logan this weekend. Mm-hmm. He has a barbecue, and all he does is grill on it. And
yeah.
It's like he's just become a guy who grills. Is that do you find that to be often the case? Do you have a barbecue?
No, I don't have a room.
But he could.
I'm in an apartment. And I just.
You have a balcony?
It's not a good one. It's like there's like an overhang, and so like the smoke wouldn't go in. Believe me, it's like the first thing that happens when I get a house is it's just going to be like
a barbecue,
entire smoker pits, and like the whole thing.
That's awesome. Smoke your own meat.
Oh hell yeah.
Ever tell you the story where we tried to build our own smoker? Once?
Nope.
So apparently, okay, so this is back in high school, and we were looking at like meat smokers. And at the mm-hmm. end of the day, all you have is it's a heating element, it's some wood chips, hickory or what have you, and mm-hmm. a closed, enclosed thing that can take some heat.
Yep.
That's literally all it is. So my friend found all these like, you know, like plans for just, you know, because they're expensive. You can build your own essentially out of a trash can.
Yeah.
Like you can just basically take a trash can, cut some holes in it, and like make a meat smoker out of it. So for like a week, we were obsessed with like, we got to make our own meat smoker. And so we went to we were going around Home Depot looking for big aluminum trash cans because you need metal for it.
Yeah.
And they're really hard to find, like surprisingly difficult to find, like the stereotypical aluminum trash can.
I mean, when was the last time you've seen one in your life?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I can't even think, probably like on the school ground and like.
Yeah. Like it's.
I don't think they exist
anymore. It was at a
house at home. Yeah.
You have them at home?
No, at like home back.
Yeah, yeah, like long. Yeah.
Oh, way back. Yeah, yeah. So it's like. So we're going around looking for this, and it's just, you can't find it, period. Yeah. It's like, it's all plastic, and also, you know, in Seattle, it's, of course, Seattle, they're all, you know, it's all like plastic, and it's all like the city-regulated ones for garbage cans and stuff. So we're going there, and we're going around looking for this, and we talked, and we're talked, like, there's an employee who was trying to help us. Mm-hmm. And so imagine there's, like, me, a couple other friends, high school-age kids going around this Home Depot on a weekend, so already a little bit out of place. Generally, mm-hmm. don't find high schoolers going around. You find guys, you know, in apartments trying to do some stuff. And he's like, oh, hey, guys, like, you know, can I help you? It's like, yeah, we're just we're looking for like a big metal trash can so that we can smoke some meat. But the way my friend said it was so fast that it was like, we all were like, smoke some weed. Like, we thought that we even thought he said that. And the employee gave us a look like, okay, whatever, like, dude.
Come
like,
to the back. Yeah. I know exactly what you want.
Not even that. But he was like, okay, whatever. He kind of like backed away like weirdly. And our friend's like, that was like weird reaction. We're like, Did you not hear yourself? It literally sounded like you said, smoke some weed. And he's like, oh, no. And we're like, oh, that's hilarious. He misheard us. That's, you know, that's perfect. That's, yeah, whatever. That would have been it. Except then, later on, we were looking at heating elements, like barbecue heating elements to get the wood chips going. And so we're, you know, pulling through all this thing. And he pulls up one that's, you know, like a heating element that you would normally do to get started for a, like a charcoal grill. Mm-hmm. And he's like, dude, this will be perfect to start smoking with. And like, as he was saying that, the employee just happened to be walking by and like gave a double take and was like, and shook his head. And as he was like, these freaking kids like going through Home Depot looking for all manner of marijuana accoutrement to do the thing. And then when we checked out, he was the guy working. He had shifted from walking around to checking us out. And we're just like, oh my God. And we had like a bunch of stuff. And he just like the whole time just mean mugging us. Just like, you freaking kids.
Did he make it? Did he smoke your meat?
No, we couldn't find it. We couldn't find an actual garbage can. We had everything else. We had like a little tray with wood chips and all this stuff. But we didn't find a garbage can. I think my friend eventually did like a few weeks later. But everyone else had lost interest in it. So he had kind of done his own thing. He was like, yeah, that worked. You know. So anyway, if you want to smoke your own meat, you could just
good luck.
Good luck, because you can't find the stuff for it anymore. Ah, the heady days of youth, misspent summers in Seattle trying to get barbecue-based products and to do that. Anyway, speaking of barbecue, 4th of July, this last weekend, America's holiday. So we had a little office get-together here. I felt weird about that, honestly.
Why?
I don't know. There was just something about, like, having a building and being like, hey, we're having an after work barbecue and having people show up, that just felt like very adult, you know? It felt like very grown up. And it was,
there's like a lot of people that people invited that I was like, oh, like I started realizing there's like a whole like circle of influence like that like extends beyond, like I'm like, oh, like that person who I'm their boss worked on that one project that I did this on, and that person, and then there's like six people, and like people are showing up. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, it did feel kind of like, oh, we're adults now, I guess.
Well, and we also had it in our...
And then we were playing hacky sack, though.
Yeah.
And we had it in our little parking lot, but then the problem was everyone was just clustered in the shade of the parking lot, so it was kind of a weird...
The party got bigger as the day went on.
Yeah. Kind of a weird vibe.
But we had too big of a hacky sack circle. What do you think is the perfect size for a hacky sack circle based off that, Mike? Mike was hacky. Freddie doesn't hacky sack.
Yeah,
bro, I don't hack.
Is the correct basic is 4.
Four.
But really, all you need is 3.
Yeah.
And like, if
5 is okay.
Yeah, but it's like anytime you're pushing that, you're just getting into the game of, oh, let's try and get a hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 0. Not.
We had 9.
Yeah.
And one person was a girlfriend who was just like the guy like made her go in that circle, and she didn't hack at all.
Yeah.
And it just felt bad. And literally, it was that secret game where we all knew that the only way we were ever going to get a hack
is to let her go
all
first.
Of us just, no.
Or last.
Last. Like, just do it and then just kick it into her. And then count. It would be like the only way it would work.
We got a hack, and then you punt
it. I felt bad because it was all really quiet because we were all being very polite. But there's this one moment where, like the third hit, she kicked, and everybody went, oh, like, it's real now, because she already got it.
Yeah.
So she wasn't going to lose it again. And then I just felt bad for her, because, like, she clearly didn't want to be hacky-sacking.
There's a lot of peer pressure around hacky sack, man.
There is.
I don't.
And then how do you leave that circle?
It's a chain.
You're walking away.
It's your weakest link.
Or the only way to win is to not play. How about that?
Clint always makes it, like, really competitive. He's always like, China's at 20. China's at 20, like they were playing like an international tournament in order
well,
to get
Clint,
us there.
I remember a story with Clint where he wanted to do that do the move where like you put it on your foot and flip it over your head, mm-hmm. and like Harley from Epic Mealtime was like, oh yeah, 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 it's easy. Obviously it's not easy, but he was just like joking with Clint, like, yeah, it's easy, just put it on your foot and just flip it over your head, like it's easy. Yeah. And Clint's like, oh okay, and I was like, yeah, he's not gonna do it, and he just does it first attempt. He's like this, and he does it, and everybody was like, that's like one of the, that's a very difficult move that you just like casually just did and attempted it. He's like, okay, never mind.
It's because Clint's a machine.
Yeah. Clint has a lot of control over his physicality.
The robot.
Which is helpful when you want to be hacky sacking, yeah. if you want to be, I don't know, man. I don't, so Seattle, obviously, a lot of hacky sack mm-hmm. going on. A lot of outdoor festivals and mm-hmm. a lot of hacky sack happening. I just never... It's never got into it, man. I don't understand. Like,
it's great. It's the sport where just it's just about everybody doing well.
Yeah, man.
And it's about teamwork and
it's like the craps like, of
yeah, about being zen.
Activity.
Yeah. It's complete control.
Man. I don't know, man.
That rhythm, that little noise when you sack, you know.
When did you start hacky sacking?
I don't know. So it's been something that I've, you know. When did you start knowing you loved movies, man? It just happened.
I'm just awful at it. You know what it is? I'm totally awful at hacky sack.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who... And like,
but
there's,
you can do like...
There's a lot of overlap with soccer, though.
Contact struggling.
Well, but here's the thing with hacky sack.
Yeah, it's,
well, and also here's the thing with hacky sack is like there's like kind of like three levels. There's my level, just sucks, can maybe like knee it a couple times and then kick it off. There's a level of beyond that you can do like Jimmy's level, I'd say. Like, you know, 10 to 15.
That's what I mean. Like, you can juggle.
You can kind of juggle it a little bit. But then there's a giant chasm between that level and... The guys who are like stalling it and like doing it from the bottom of their foot to the side of their foot and then to the top of their head and then catching it in the shoulder and rolling it off. And then you're just like,
it's not as big as you think. I think the biggest curve is really just learning how to do that like basic, like regular movement of taking it and putting your foot so it's directly horizontal and being able to consistently do that. Once you learn that, you can kind of learn the other stuff.
Yeah. Cause it's just
it's like you get the basic of, oh, it's about getting your body part, whatever's hitting it, to be completely horizontally level. And once you understand that, then you understand how to keep it.
So you're saying that my impediment here is a philosophical mental one.
Well, it's also learning that muscle memory of how to do.
Dude, you learn how to do contact juggling.
Dude, it's too late. I'm 29 years old.
You could learn to do hacky sack.
I'm 29 years old.
You spent 20 minutes.
That train is past.
You spent 20 minutes.
It's blown through the station.
You would do it.
Forget it. Anyway, so
it would take us 3 afternoons.
Oh God, 3 afternoons I don't have.
That's true.
I'll tell you what I am getting into, though. I don't know if you heard about this, but I've been watching some of these videos, these first-person view quadcopter videos. Now granted, Matt's the pilot in the duo.
I don't know about anymore after you make your...
However, so we're looking at some of this stuff, and these guys are building like little mini drones. And I was like, because here's the thing. From our perspective, drones are expensive because we always use these crazy professional camera rigs and stuff like that because they need to carry a lot of weight to hold the cameras that we're using. Even like the DJI stuff, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, this, you're looking at over $1,000, right?
Yeah.
It's
like the new DJI was like $3,000.
Yeah. And so we're like, okay, well, drones is a thing that we're going to do when we do, you know, like camera stuff and for movies. And I was looking at this stuff, and like all these people have these. I'm like, how expensive is this? Turns out you can build like a mini quad, like, you know, about a foot wide or so for like $200. And that's like the range that everyone's playing with. And also it's $200 that you don't really, and pieces that break are relatively cheap. Like motors are like $5, $6 bucks each, you know? And like props are, you can get like a pack of 20, you know, for so everything that's potentially breakable is cheap. And everything else is really sturdy because they build it out of these frames, these like carbon fiber frames that like if you get in a crash, those things don't break. What breaks are the props and all these other parts. And people even build it in such a way that the things that do, like they'll use nylon for certain things just so it's like, oh yeah, if it falls, it breaks and it's whatever, it doesn't matter. But anyway, oh God, construction is so bad.
I remember we were in the edit room and literally that's what John and Clint like. Like they were like going nuts. Like, the thing is, I'm going crazy, Matt. Like I can't. It's like and like it stopped for a second. He's like seriously that. And then like right when he starts speaking, it's like the drills are like again. And I was talking about this, and they're like, dude, this is so much worse than World War One.
Yeah, sitting around in an air conditioned editing room.
Well, not right now.
And I was like, it's not. But it is driving people a little crazy. But it is nice that we're finally at drywall stage, which means you can like see.
what things are going to look like, more or less.
It looks like all the drywall's done,
So. We've been in the middle of construction, new building. It's just been a lot of doing stuff while other stuff is going on. Like, ideally, probably in the long run, we should have just all taken a vacation. It's like just 6 months off. Just done. Nobody do anything here. Everyone will pick this whole thing back up.
Maybe that's why our videos are dark. Maybe it's just we're all just sitting here just
that is true.
Constant construction.
That is true. If you look at if you look at our videos as a manifestation of our mental state, that's probably a pretty good reasoning.
Yeah. It's a little crazy. And it's funny because we were so excited, like originally we're like, man, we're gonna get this new building, we'll do like a tour of the building and show people where we're at. But it's like, no, it's just been if you watch this week at Rocket Jump or like anything, you just see it's like it looks like we're just in a warehouse.
We're in a construction zone.
Almost done.
Yeah,
it's almost
like,
funny
like
too.
I keep telling my friends like, oh, I want to see the office, and then I'm like, wait a few months.
For a while.
How about no?
Air conditioning breaks down.
Well, and also we're in the middle of convention season now too, so it just becomes like this thing where people are not here at random times, you know. So it's like, oh, hey, sorry, you know. It's like we have, you know, Comic Con. We're doing some stuff this weekend. If you're going to be down there on Friday or Saturday, we're going to be down there. We're doing a podcast on Saturday. Benji, is that right? Saturday, we're doing a podcast. Yeah. So we're doing this podcast Saturday over at Petco Park with the Nerdist folks, and then like 2 weeks after that, we got VidCon. They got Rooster Teeth. It's just like, this is just the middle of that. And the place is under construction anyway. It's a wonder anything gets done here at all.
And we're deep in edit of one of our shows. And
yeah, the Hulu show's in post-production. And there's like, we have one functioning edit room. And there's like
8 people 25
people in it.
Yeah, in between 8 and 25 people in that room.
At any given time.
Yeah, like the first 3 days I was trying to do edits on the shorts, I would just come in and I would just look around and I'd be like, Ben, do I have a computer? Like, is there any? And they're like, no. Like, okay, so like we had to get new computers. Like, Freddie's in this like little tiny. Like,
I'm in a little kind of. Actually, you know, Benji described it perfectly. It's it's on the corner of the building. It's the cockpit for the Millennium Falcon. It's off. It's off and to the right of the building, and it's like its own little thing. I do have a window. I don't know. I'm starting to like that little that
little
nook.
Like, I think that's like Danny's zone, though.
I know. I think that's going to be where all the tech stuff goes at the end of the day. Where are we going to go?
We're in the bullpen.
Yeah. You don't get offices. That's right. Yeah, it's true democracy.
My wife was yelling at me saying like that open offices is a terrible idea.
Who?
Ashley.
She's yelling at you for that?
No, not yelling. She's just saying, well, kind of. She's like, oh, I would hate working there. It'd be such a terrible, like, everybody should. I'm like, I was reading. I was reading, you know, everybody has their own thing. Because the main reason is that a lot of people do open office because it's cheaper than giving everybody their own office.
Yeah.
But then also, I'm trying to think of a creative place I've been to that doesn't have
open office. Well, it's like there's a difference between doing admin work and whatever and what we do. Which
I mean, she's
is
like a doctor. So, like, I get it. She doesn't want to be in a cubicle with, like, four other people.
Well, certainly a doctor. Yeah. I mean, you can't examine patients out in the open. What is this, a field hospital?
Exactly. Yeah. So, but like, yeah, it'll be interesting because it's simultaneously, it's like construction zone, but people kind of have their own spaces right now.
You know what it is? It's because when you say open office, in her mind, in her world, she literally thinks the end of Jurassic World where they're all in that hangar and it's just everybody's just injured in a hangar. That's
but
what
she thinks. She saw the setup. It also just shows the different type of people. Like,
there's also so many different rooms to be working in when we're doing things. And so I think it's you have that option of that bullpen space.
Yeah. The idea, that's the whole idea of the office layout is that we have like open area with communal areas and then meeting rooms. And then as you come down where the edit rooms and stuff are, there's quiet rooms. And obviously the admins have their own offices.
And honestly, in my old office, a lot of times it was preventative. And like I would just be in a cave all day.
Yeah.
Like just concentrating on what I needed to do.
AKA Matt's daily life.
But it wasn't. Right. It wasn't overall productive. Everybody felt closed off.
I will say though. So I was the last one out last night. Uh-huh. This place is big enough that it gives you the heebie-jeebies.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've been.
You know why? Because there's this one hallway on one side of the building that's a super long hallway, and there's a light switch on either end of it. Except we have an exit light, so it just casts a red light at the end of it. So when you're walking to leave, it's just a super long hallway with just a red glow at the end of it, and it's like. And there's crickets. You probably heard some of the crickets here on this podcast already. You just hear like noises, and there's like.
It's also like weirdly, we don't have, because it's construction, we haven't really defined like an employee entrance. Yeah. So it was like people just come in from three different parts of the building, and then people come in at weird times. So like, yeah, I've been here like on the weekend late, and then like here, and it's like, oh, it's not so the door
freaky.
Near you, it's like all the way down.
Oh, it's so
so you're like, hello, and you're like, you hear your voice like go through the whole office. And then there's one part where we had I came here and I forgot that Jake and them were filming, so I scared them because I opened up the door, and then all of a sudden I hear like Jake's like, hello. I'm like, hello. And like we rotated around the building trying to find each other for like 30. I was like, hello. And Jake's like, who's there? I'm like, it's Matt. He's like, who? And then I found he's like, and then he saw me. He's like, oh, thank God. He was really nervous. He's like, oh, thank God. And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, no, I just saw some like druggie came in or something. I was like, ow.
Well, we actually had that happen.
I know. That was like one of the first days.
One of the first days it was me and John Carmen. We were in the main editing room, which is like a door and a half away from like the front entrance. And then all of us, like, we were the only people there. We were just cutting some stuff up. All of a sudden, just a stranger is at the door, like, of the editing room. And they're like, do you guys have a copier? And I was like, who is this?
And I could see somebody looking at the front of our building and being like, this is a place to get copies. I could see that if they were depending. And it wasn't like a film person.
It was a film person. They were shooting, like, down the street. And there was a PA who had been sent to, like, go get some piece of art copied, and just
which,
like
when you're
just
PA on a film set sent to get something, like you will go into people's houses.
You will
do anything.
You straight up Zelda that. You just barge into doors. Because it's almost like you feel like for a second that the rules of society no longer supersede the rules of the set, and you're obeying the rules of the set, which by the way continues to go into our theory of film sets as cult. You know, that sort of little thing that we have.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, and it makes you a sociopath.
But this person just walks in, and we're like, "What?" Well, and the best part about this was at that moment when she walked in, John and I, like, one of my airsoft bags was just in the corner there. So, and John's like, "What's this bag?" I'm like, "Oh, this is just like I need to bring this home. This is like my bag for like airsoft stuff." So I was like taking stuff out. So she walked in on two guys in a wrecked out, empty office under construction, carrying what looks like just full-on assault rifles, just sitting there and not fazed at all. And we're like, oh, and like I turn around, like, oh, put the guns away here. Like, no, we don't have a copier. We're sort of under construction. She's like, oh, okay, all right, bye. And she left. And we're like, how did this person get? Because we didn't even hear her come in. She like very quietly came in and just approached us. Anyway, so this place is freaky. Have you been freaked out yet?
Yeah, leaving late at night. We should.
It's not like we're in like a dangerous neighborhood.
No, not at all. But you know what we should do?
What?
We should design some jump scares.
Yeah. Well, that's supposed to be Clint's thing.
Let's prank our own people and then get trillions of views with these pranks.
If Clint was wrapped like completely in black and like had like a ski mask on and like did his like weird like crab walk stuff like at night like to somebody, like it would be pretty freaky.
Darnell loves scaring people too.
Yeah. Should get Darnell and Clint, like we should hire them one night when we know some people are gonna be here late at night, like we hear like Ben and like the edit team is gonna be here one night or something like that. We should get Darnell and Clint to show up.
It's just like do freaky things. You know what it is. You know,
and now it's perfect because now with the drywall up, like there's
you
less
be,
lines of sight.
But
you
also
can be
you can
hiding.
You can also be up
lots
in
of corners.
The, you can also be up in the ceilings.
Yeah,
you some can of these the structures ceiling. You could actually. Yeah, this just kind of gets to the, what this kind of gets to.
Especially
is
you can scare Benji. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I thought you were gonna say no, you can't scare me. Benji's like, no, you'll be scared.
Yeah, I'm a flincher.
I think this kind of just speaks to This was my theory, and I've had so many people just be like, that's not true. And I was like, well, then you're probably not the kind of person I want to hang out with. But I have a theory where everybody secretly wants to just make a haunted house.
Uh-huh.
And like at some point that like,
no,
you've never wanted to make a haunted house.
Not a haunted house, but I like scaring people.
Wait, you've
but
never.
It's more of like a splinter cell.
It's
like,
a lot of work.
I back in college, I would scare my friend Travis all the time.
Yeah.
I would like shimmy up the narrow hallway because like I used to be athletic. I'm like now. And like he would just like walk out of his door. And then I would just like wait for a very long time for him to come out of his door. And I would just fall on him.
What was the best scare you've ever either received or given?
I did one where at USC we all ate at the cafeteria, EVK, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew I had the key to my friend Scott's room, and I said I was going someplace else, and then I sprinted around the building and got to their room before them. and then went underneath their bed. And then
under their bed?
Yeah, went under his
bed.
That's
risky.
And stayed there for quite a while. Like I was under there for like a good like 20 minutes, just like chilling, just like getting ready for the right moment.
Wait, under there for 20 minutes while they were in the room?
Yeah, because he came in and then he's just like getting ready for, you know, he's just on his computer and stuff like that.
What if something then, weird happened?
I mean, I would have, if he was like pulling his dick, I would have said, hey, I'm under here. Like, stop it. Or I just would have watched. I would have.
Dude, how much scarier is that? How much scarier is that?
If I just texted him, was like, look under your bed while he's in the middle of masturbating. And then just watching, and just looking under your bed and watching me, like, just
watching
staring
you,
at
oh,
you.
Yeah.
That was that, you're right. That would have been traumatizing. That's not even scary. That's just traumatizing.
Yeah, that's next level scares. Everyone thinks
that's
about
real.
Everyone thinks about surprising.
Dude, don't get in like, a scary match with Matt because he will ruin you.
Yeah. Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, scared. When you surprise someone, it's like you mean like by letting them know secretly that you've been watching for the last hour, like that kind of scare, that kind of mortal terror.
But I remember he was, and then he was getting up too. He was in a jazz band. He like sat on the bed and was like tying his shoe. And like,
oh my god!
And it was the altar and just grabbed both. Was like,
oh!
Like, just started screaming, and yeah, it was good. And because he didn't think anybody was there, because
well,
one,
yeah,
I
see,
locked the door, and two, I left in different ways.
I would go for the more subtle scare of like pushing up under the mattress,
mm-hmm.
and all that. They're like, is there something under my bed? Like, not knowing what it is, right? Or like the slow dread, I like
yeah,
better.
Slow dread is good. Yeah. So when those legs are in front of you, man, you can't not, you just gotta go for them, just grab them. And that's the scary. I mean, I've never had somebody do that to me underneath the bed, but I imagine that that's probably one of the worst feelings.
That's
that
awful.
So they grab you from underneath the bed.
Yeah, I can't do haunted houses. I can't do any of that stuff.
Benji just sneezed into his elbow.
He just pulled like the school ground like elbow fart,
and it sounded like a little toot.
Yeah,
he just tooted into his own elbow. We're leaving that one in there.
That's great.
Well, so you don't do haunted houses at all?
Nope, don't like.
Really?
This is a lot of work.
I love
That's
movies.
All it is.
I love
Man.
Scary movies, but no. And I think I've told this actually on the podcast before, but it's like I had very bad experiences
with
haunted houses as a kid, and just like I just I wouldn't do it. Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah.
No, I won't do a haunted house. It's too much work. I'll
really?
Scare somebody though. I mean, I'll scare you.
Man.
If you want to get scared.
One time, one of my neighbors in my building knocked on my door,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't hear it. So I was just getting ready to go out. And so this is just the most recent scare mm-hmm. that's happened for me. So I opened the door and there was this very slight Asian woman who was there.
Mm-hmm.
And from her point of view, she knocked on the door and now the homeowner has come to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
From my point of view, I opened the door and there was someone right outside there. So I screamed and slammed the door in her face. And then I was like, wait, no, that's someone. I was like, you know, it wasn't. I was like, ah! And I just, you know, closed the door. And then for her, I opened the door again and she looked like the most freaked out I'd ever seen. Because from her perspective, she knocked on a door and then the door opened and someone screamed at her and then slammed the door. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't expect anyone. Oh my gosh.
See, when you get older, your scares become less like, oh my God, there's a monster. And more like, did my wife just get murdered? So like, the last time I got scared, and Des was kind of involved in this. With it's like not even scared. It's just like I was just like, oh, maybe my wife just got murdered right now, because she like I was on the phone with her.
Need context? Continue.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the phone with her, and she was at home, and then like she heard something at the door. She's like, oh wait, somebody's really banging here. I'll be right back 1 second. And then I heard muffled talking because she stayed on the phone, and she had dropped the phone. And then all I heard was like wah! And then like dropped the phone. I was like. So I tried calling back and she wasn't responding for like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So then I was like, Dez, because Dez and Benji still live, and I was like, hey, Dez, can you go check? He's like, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. Dez calls me back. He's like, your door's wide open. She's not in there. And then like Dez starts getting concerned. And like now I'm like, so that's called being scared. I'm like, whoa, my God. I don't know. I'm like, do I call the police right now? Like, what's happening? He's like, oh, let me look around. I didn't know for like 40 minutes. And what had happened was is like somebody.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time. And it became this whole. Eventually, Des found out because he started hearing like a bunch of the people in the apartment complex were all like in the garage because like somebody couldn't get their. Like it was literally somebody couldn't get their unit opened and they needed help. And like we had the. See, they thought we had the key. And then a bunch of people were helping. It was like an older woman who needed help. So a bunch of people were there helping her. But like all that happened.
So what was just some neighbors pitching in to help?
It was just this crazy coincidence. Like when she opened the door, a neighbor was like screaming across the yard, be like, oh, we're over here. So that was the scream I heard. Then Ashley did drop her phone and she picked it up. And because she was like talking, she forgot that she had it. She didn't turn it off. and then it was off, and then she wasn't responding, and then she just left the door open. So then, but like the combination of that and the desk, like me, like I'm being paranoid. All says is like your door's wide open,
and there's no one here.
I mean, that's terrifying. Like, that's like simple math.
Yeah, exactly. There's only one solution. She's dead
or kidnapped.
Yeah.
Dang.
I was like, man, that's it. That's like I'm not getting married again. That's the end now, I guess. Like, yeah. So
that's dark. That's a
good haunted house. If you could find a way to get like a couple to come in and then find a way to make it feel like
one of them's been murdered.
Yeah, disappeared. Oh,
They
just don't come out the other side of the haunted house and they just sign an agreement. They agree not to contact their significant other for like 18 hours or something like that.
Wait, so what was going through your head?
How long does it take for missing persons? Yeah. 24.
How long?
I think it was 24 till.
What was going through your head for 40 minutes?
And just like panic. I was just like, it was that. It was like texting. I was like, well, maybe I should just drive home. Maybe I need to investigate. Like, maybe Des can't do it. Maybe Des too dumb. Maybe I gotta be sitting with the fingerprints. It's like, Des, have you done enough? Like, yeah. It was just that. It was, yeah, it was a lot of, it was like contacting and texting and being like, oh, it's probably fine. She probably just went out somewhere. I mean, I don't really remember. It was just panic.
Yeah.
And she texted, like, oh, sorry.
That's actual moral terror.
And then that thing where she's like, annoyed. Like, why were you so worried? It's like, because I thought you were dead.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you died.
Because I heard a scream. The doors opened. You weren't there, and Des couldn't find you for like 30 minutes. That's why I was worried.
That's such a perfect storm of events.
Yeah, it was like a perfect like series of coincidences. So that was the last scare I had.
That's pretty intense. That's a real scare.
That's a real scare.
That's a real honest Scott scare there.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know the last real scare. Certainly nothing as good as that.
We're gonna scare you.
As good as that.
We'll get Darnell and Clint to go talk to your wife, and then we'll come up with something really good.
Oh man, she knows
Don't get her on it. She'll, oh no, she'll love it.
Yeah,
she scares me all the time. The answer is the weekly scare that Aaron will always give. Like,
yeah.
Like just like, and she'll do like the creepy things too. Yeah. Like honestly, okay, here we go. I'll just be like sitting on the toilet, and there'll be like a crack in the door, and just like I'll just look, and she'll just be watching. And I'm like just sitting there on my phone.
What?
I'm like,
wait, that's a little weird.
No. But I'm saying she's purposely trying to scare me, and then she'll make the noise that like freaks the shit out of me.
You don't lock the door when you go to the bathroom.
No, I do, but sometimes I'm just like in a rush. I don't know.
Dude, sometimes you gotta go, man.
We've been together 11 years.
Yeah,
come on. Sometimes you gotta go, Matt.
Yeah.
Wait, Matt, do you lock the door?
Yeah. Did you have siblings? Yeah, you had a sibling.
He was older though.
Oh, I think Benji, when you have siblings, especially around the same age,
you're vulnerable.
It's just, I mean, it's muscle memory. I don't think about it. I just lock doors.
Benji says they used to light things on fire and throw. Wait, what things on fire?
Yeah, what are
would things? You light? So he would,
flaming
so you would, so Benji would be shooting flaming pieces of paper down at people. Wow. It's good times. Yeah. We never mess, like Jimmy and I kind of never messed with each other in that way.
Uh-huh.
Like I hear a lot of brother stories where it's like, yeah, I used to torture my older brothers. Like Jimmy and I never, like there
you
was like
torture each other psychologically.
Yeah, that was it. It was all just psychological.
Oh, my brother tortured the shit out of me.
How much older was he than you?
5 years, 5 to 6.
It's like, I had a cousin that age. I think that's like, I think 6 years younger than you is like, they're serfs. Like
yeah, because you also don't even see them as equals anymore. And it's like, you're so far beyond, you know.
And when you're that age, you idolize them because they're always in that age you want to be.
Yeah.
And like, you know, remember there was like a cool like football player dude and like all this sort of thing. And like he, like I'm talking like tie me up in the woods and leave me there, like the whole thing.
I never had that. I had my cousin one time put us in sweaters or like coats, I think, and then hung us on the coat rack in the closet, and then like left us there for a long time until he told like my aunt. Like, oh yeah, all the kids' sweaters are downstairs. Like, and then she opened the door. We were all there, like, ah! Like we're all just like screaming. Because he also told us that if we made any noises, he'd like beat us up. So we're all just really quiet in the coat rack. And like, I remember my brother being like, "Matt, shut up!" Like,
no way. Yeah.
Then when the aunt opened, and then we started screaming, like, "Oh my god, help us!" And then he would also he'd always do the thing like, "I got a secret for you," and then he would like turn around, and fart in your face. And the other one he would do is, my favorite, and this one, somebody got in trouble. Like,
true terror on that one.
The two that, like, and then there's nothing funnier than being that person than when you think you seriously hurt somebody, like, just being like, oh crap, because I remember that happened twice. One time it was to my younger brother. It always happened to my younger brother. Somehow I always avoided it. He'd always be like, "Hey, you want to see, I can teach you how to fly." And that we were like, "Do the teach you how to fly?"
No, but
can teach you how to fly.
You're like so young. I'm like, "What?" I'm like, yeah. And then he like they would lean down and they'd like essentially like lay on their back and have their knees up against their chest, and then you'd sit on their legs, and then they would just kick. And just fling you as far as they could. And, like, my brother just nailed a cabinet, like, so hard.
Were you doing
like,
this indoors?
Yeah, like, bleeding from the head. Like, and then the other one was, it was the game where you jump on the bed and they hit your legs with pillows.
Wait, what?
Have you ever done that? So you jump on the bed and then you try to avoid it. And then if you swing for the legs, like, you hit their legs with the pillows, you try to get them when they're in midair.
Oh,
so
I see.
They fall and, like, hit. But sure enough, my brother fell and just hit his head on the side, on the table next to the
bed. How many injuries? Head injuries?
Dude, I don't know how Mike survived. Like, I remember he would not sleepwalk, but I remember he always fall. We had bunk beds and he would always fall out of
the top bunk?
The top bunk. And like hit and like hit like the bookshelf and stuff like
oh my
that. Like to the point where I remember when the Northridge earthquake happened, I just thought it was Mike like falling again.
Oh my god!
But I always remember this one night.
Wait, and you wouldn't abdicate bottom bunk or flip with
him? He liked the top bunk.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. He liked the top bunk, but I always remember the one night because he had a ladder getting up there. I remember one night waking up to hearing boom, boom, and I woke up enough that literally I saw him hit the last three rungs. He was literally going down the ladder like this.
Like a cartoon.
Like a cartoon. Like, boom. And then he just hit the floor and like fell on his back and then just a beat and then started crying. I was like, Mom, I get his head again.
Oh,
yeah.
That's terrible. And what's funny is like, I'll put it this way too, with my older brother. I didn't realize baby teeth could just fall out. Because he knew I always knocked them out.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Mine's not funny. Yours sounds horrible.
No, I don't know. It was that exact combination of just like he was so much older and bigger than me, but like because I idolized him in kind of way for so many reasons. Like I was like, well, no, this is cool. This is just how it is. So
cool.
I would never tell my parents when bad things happened, or like it was so. And as I got older. And like things started evening out.
Yeah,
I remember being like, "Oh, wait, this has been messed up for a
while." Yeah, don't do it. When I said fly, did he do something where he said, "I'll teach you how to fly"?
No. Okay, I thought he was gonna have you like jump off a roof.
Oh no. But, I don't think we were that dumb, but it was pretty.
Yeah, the
bad.
Worst was June was threw a rock at my head.
Mm-hmm.
It bled. A lot.
You just threw a rock at your head?
He threw a brick at my head.
Have you ever done, like there's, you do stuff as a kid you don't remember. I always remember, I had a friend who always told me about the story where he's like, yeah, I'm always concerned. Like, he was really a smart guy, but he's always like, yeah, you know, I always have the story that my parents tell me, and I always think maybe I'm just a crazy person. And I was like, well, what's the story? He's like, well, I was like, his parents were, like, wealthy. He was, like, on, like, Martha's Vineyard or something.
Yeah.
Like, absurd. He's like, I was on the beach, like, at this crazy vacation resort, and, like, all the parents had their kids, and they tell a story, and I walked up. And there's this, like, this girl that I'd been playing with, like, a little bit, like, one of the girls in the neighborhood. And she was, like, building a sandcastle. And I walked up, and I was just behind her, and I looked at her. And I looked to the right, and I just picked up a rock and just put it above her head and just dropped it on her head. I was like, what? And he's like, I'm like, that's insane. Like, I would put, like, if I was that parent, I'd be like,
that's
assault. If I was a parent, I mean, he was, like, three.
Yeah.
Like, it's really young.
At that age, though, it's all.
It's at that age where you're just like,
that's still...
I wonder.
Yeah.
But I'm like. And he's like, I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm literally thinking of you differently right now. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I can trust you as anything. That's pretty.
Like, I think there is a difference between like 3 and 5.
Though. Yeah, yeah. If it was like, he was really, really young. But still, like, but I had the same thing where like, I didn't do that. But like, my brother has a scar on his forehead, and like, yeah, that's when you hit him in the head with a metal pail. Like, and I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you're like 2 or 3. I was like, what happens when you're like, I don't remember this at all, but Mike remembers it because it happened to him.
Oh yeah.
But I don't remember it at all. But there's just this constant scar of like, you did this to me. I was like, I did it. I don't know what to tell you. I was 3 years old. I don't remember this, but I think
at that age, it's like, it's less like malice. It's
you don't even have malice
learning cause and effect.
Yeah. He's like,
it's like, I wonder if I drop this rock on this girl's head, what will happen?
He doesn't remember. He's like, yeah, I don't remember dropping on her head, but I do remember like there's like an emotional response. Like, I just remember like feeling really bad at the beach one day. You know? I guess that's like what kids do. It's like, you just like, yeah, it's like cause effect. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't do this to other human beings, I guess.
Yeah.
You just saw Rockhead. I wonder, what does this do? Oh, horrible things. This ingrained.
Yeah, see, forever. The key is if you don't have that response, that's when things are bad, right?
Man, it's too bad because now that could totally go into how all Inside Out works.
Right. How memories work. You know you're in trouble when you're like, everybody was just mad at me for no reason.
I don't get it.
Yeah, that's the thing. At least he remembers feeling bad at the beach. If it was, I remember being at the beach once, and everyone seemed to be mad at me.
And I felt powerful. I remember being powerful at the beach when I was 3 years old. It's like I had control over human life.
Anyway, that's why I like the beach. It's like, huh, all right. Anyway, we're off to Comic-Con. We're doing some more editing on the Hulu show.
Did you start sitting up?
No. Yes, I've been slowly getting lower. If you fast forward through this video, you can see me relax into my current position. In another hour, I'll be on the floor. Regardless, thanks everybody once again. Thank you, Benji, podcast producer, mix master, Matt and Mike. Thanks very much, and we'll be seeing you guys next week.
Bye.
Oh, the next one's going to be live from Comic-Con. So, yeah, look forward to that. Hey. We're going to be talking about all kinds of nerd stuff. I love Comic-Con, guys. You love Comic-Con, Matt? You like Comic-Con?
That's pretty fun.
Nice.
Tiring.
Nice. I like the stuff at Comic-Con.
I like the stuff at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
If only there was, what you need is you need a segue to just ferry you around.
I just need, like, 5 times more energy and to be 10 years younger. Like, it's just exhausting.
Or a segue, one of those. Anyway, see you folks next week.